This week, I did a lot of thinking about what I would write about this Pentecost story. On Pentecost, it's a big festival. You want to bring out the big guns, right? So I had done the reading. I had thought it all through and I had figured it out. My theme, my ideas. And then I sat down to write it. And just before I began, I opened up a weekly email that I received from David Lowes, a Lutheran theologian and teacher in the U.S., with his thoughts on this Pentecost reading. And in the end, what you will hear today is not the sermon that I had mapped all out in my mind, but rather much of what David Lowes offered in his thoughts. Because when I read it, I thought, this is what we need to hear. So perhaps next year you'll get to hear the sermon I thought I was going to preach. Because this is one of those readings that we do hear every year on Pentecost, I'm sure that you have a pretty good sense of what happens. The disciples are gathered in a room waiting for the consummation of Jesus' promise of the Holy Spirit. When the earth shakes, the wind blows, tongues of fire descend, and they are emboldened to preach the gospel, first in Jerusalem and eventually to the ends of the earth. In other words, a dramatic event happens which transforms the disciples, solves their problems, and delivers a happy ending. Right? Sounds like it's almost straight out of Hollywood. And yet, a happy ending? Not so much. Given that all of the disciples go on to face struggle, big struggle and persecution, and that the overwhelming majority of them eventually endure martyrdom, happy ending doesn't seem to quite cut it. And as for solving their problems, it seems truer that the Holy Spirit causes more problems than it solves. I mean, had they not been commissioned and equipped to go share the good news, they could have savored the truth of the resurrection for themselves, cherishing the pleasant memory of Jesus' resurrected presence well into their ripe old age. But instead, they're thrown out into the crowds, many of whom witnessed, if not participated in, the crucifixion of Jesus. And they're sent to bear witness to a rather difficult truth. It's true, they preach and thousands respond, but never without a cost. And why then should we expect anything different? Why, that is, should we expect the Holy Spirit to bring anything more than challenges and opportunities that, while significant and valuable, are nevertheless costly? When Martin Luther revised ever so slightly for the Reforming Church the traditional marks of the church that he inherited, he added only one. In addition to the proclamation of the gospel and the sharing of the sacraments and so on, those things that mark the presence of the true church, Luther added just one thing: struggle. If you are about the work of the gospel, he reasoned, and indeed his experience gave him good reason to believe it, then he said, expect resistance. Which invites us to cast the challenges of our congregation in a different light. Fidelity doesn't inevitably bring success. Instead, just as often, it brings struggle and hardship. More importantly, though, this different understanding prompts us to view the work of the Holy Spirit differently. The Spirit likely won't solve our problems, but it will invite us to see possibilities we would not have seen otherwise. Rather than remove our fear, the Spirit grants us courage to move forward. Rather than a promise of safety, the Spirit promises presence. And rather than remove us from a turbulent world or even settle the turbulence, the Spirit enables us to keep our footing amid the tremors. Keep in mind that after the Spirit is given to Jesus at his baptism, it immediately drives him into the wilderness. The same Spirit he receives then sends him to the wilderness. I think that we have often overlooked the way the Spirit tends to shake everything up in favor of a picture of the peaceful and warm dove, because we yearn for something simpler, something a little more settled or reliable. And so we forget that the Spirit comes also in wind and flame and a cacophony of tongues. And so we work and plan and pray and we strive not to avoid challenges, but to overcome them, hoping that when we've addressed the major challenges in front of us, then we'll encounter smooth sailing. But sorry to say, that just doesn't seem to be how the Spirit works. In Tracy Kidder's biography of one Dr. Paul Farmer, he shares the story of one of the world's truly remarkable persons, a doctor who had every single reason in the world to enjoy a profitable and meaningful medical practice at home in the U.S. And yet, he was so convicted by the need to address the world's most infectious diseases that he had spent his life in remote parts of the world, striving to bring a measure of health to the globe's poorest citizens, where most of the world considered this impossible. Laboring in places like Haiti and Peru and Cuba and Russia and even more, Dr. Farmer has often been hailed as a wonder worker. But the truth is that he simply did not give up, but persisted. Always seeing after some measure of success, another challenge, another possibility. And so when Kidder titled his book, he chose a Haitian proverb that has guided Farmer and captures the wisdom that in this life and world, when you solve one problem, well, there is always another one waiting for you. The book is called Mountains Beyond Mountains. And perhaps that is what we need to hear this Pentecost day. Not simply that problems don't go away, or that the meaning of life is spent in service and hard work, or even that the Holy Spirit sets challenges for us that are worthy of disciples of Christ, all of which are true. But rather, perhaps we can hear and see the good news that the Holy Spirit continues to help us see possibilities where others see only problems. And that the same Spirit grants us the strength and energy to climb the mountains beyond mountains with equal measures of faith, confidence, and joy. I pray that each mountain, just as each disciple's challenge, each one leads us to better share the good news of the risen Christ and to care for all who are in need. May it be so. Amen.